Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Good to have you all with us today. We are about to jump into our conversation here, but first, I want to remind you all that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's not just a bank, it's a credit union. It belongs to you, and you get money back in the end. For more information, www.mecu.com, or you can go up to steinershow.org, click on their banner, it's always there. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, www.mecu.com. Let's see, do we have any guests? We hope so. That's good. So we'll start without them. So we can start with you at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. We had Kurt Anderson on briefly last week to talk about marijuana legalization, the bill he's introduced. We were going to do a whole hour today, actually, on both sides of the marijuana issue in Annapolis, the legalization of marijuana, and also the medicalization of marijuana, with different perspectives coming up from the House of Delegates. But could not put all those parts together for today, people in committee hearings and more, and so we didn't do that, and instead we were going to have a roundtable that's now morphed into one of our guests from Annapolis staying with us. It's Delegate Kurt Anderson, who is not just the Maryland State Delegate for the 43rd District, but chair of the Baltimore City Delegation. I'm also joined by Hassan Giordano, host of the Reporters Roundtable, an independent journalist who writes the Baltimore Independent Examiner, and Professor John Bullock, who's a professor of political science at Towson University. And right now we are joined by both the Delegate Anderson and Hassan Giordano. Kurt, welcome. Good to have you with us. All right. I think they're there, at least on my screen. Kurt? And Hassan?
Yep.
Is that Mr. Giordano?
That will be me. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm just right. I can't complain. Life is great.
Okay. You don't have your smiling face in the studio, but we can handle that. And Kurt, are you there? So we have, is he not online? Or is he just, the phone's just not working?
I can fill in for him.
I'm sure you can, but I don't think you have the same position. I can play the Kurt Anderson role for a minute if you like.
Yeah, that's my delegate, so I can pretty much read his mind.
Ooh. Well, we'll see what he says when he gets in the air about that. sometimes, Hassan, you know, whenever we get together a lot talking, and you join us a number of times here on the show, mm-hmm. and there are times when I get, you know, that your positions are not the ones I think you would take. So, but you like that. So, I think that you enjoy that about what you do in public. So, but Delegate Kurt Anderson is for the legalization of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And you're opposed to it.
Yeah. I think that's why you like me having on, Mark, because you don't know what I want to say. Some people are like, really? Did he just... you know what? Let me tell you something. I think, like Tip O'Neill said, all politics are local. So certain people take stances on things because it's relative to them. I don't smoke weed. So honestly, I could care less if you legalize weed or not. You can make alcohol illegal for all I care because I don't drink either. When you look at the substance itself, it's a controlled, dangerous substance. Has it ever killed anybody? No. My old take is, though, if you're going to legalize it, number one, then you need to backdate and take off, including my conviction when I was a teenager, anybody who's got convicted of possession and or selling marijuana in the past. But it's also contrary to federal law. And I honestly don't think that the two states that actually passed it this past November will hold up when it goes before the Supreme Court. I think it will be tossed. It's going to have to, I think, come from the federal government. I may be totally wrong on that. Maybe a state left up to the states. But I think that the court will probably rule against it. So I just don't want to see Maryland caught up in that mix. So I do believe that it should be medicinal marijuana. It should absolutely be given and afforded to anybody who needs it based off of health.
I think Kurt Anderson is with us. Kurt, you back with us?
I am back with you. Yes, sir.
Good to have you here. Kurt Anderson, of course, as I introduced before, not just a delegate from the 43rd Legislative District here in Baltimore City, but chair of the Baltimore City Delegation. I mean, he's a busy man in Annapolis. So, Kurt, again, we were talking a little bit about this last week, and we'll start by talking about a little bit about it today with you while you have time. about the legalization, and Hassan has kind of a nuanced position, but I think last time we were a little rushed. So please lay out your agenda about why you thought it was important at this time to enter this legislation and what you're trying to do.
Well, first off, this is a bill that would say that the possession of a small amount of marijuana, I think it's less than 10 ounces, is not illegal. It's simply for recreational use, and the police cannot arrest you for it. Currently in Maryland, we passed a law, I think last year, that said a police officer can only give you a citation for possessing a small amount of marijuana. So we're moving towards less police involvement with regard to the use of marijuana. I simply want it to be totally eliminated. The main reason is because I know hundreds of young men around the city, around the state, who get locked up for marijuana, have to get bailed out, lose time from job. Sometimes they lose their job or lose the ability to get a job in the future because they have a marijuana conviction on their record. Number two, if we do this, the state of Maryland would be involved. You'd come up with a system whereby Maryland would be responsible for dispensing it, responsible for quality control, and responsible also for collecting taxes. Can I say that again? Collecting the taxes that could be raised from this situation, which could mean tens of millions of dollars in new revenue. In other words, we'll raise the gas tax or we won't have to raise the alcohol tax. We have new revenue from marijuana sales and purchases. Last thing is that, and Hassan is absolutely correct on this. I very seldom say that, but this bill basically is saying to the federal government, look at all the states that are trying to enact laws demystifying and decriminalizing marijuana. Perhaps it's time us in Congress take a second look at doing this ourselves, because two states have already passed it through referendum, and now 17 states have bills pending decriminalizing marijuana. Perhaps we, who are the final, the federal government, is the final say-so on this, perhaps we need to take a look at this. So we're giving support to our congresspeople from Maryland and those across the country that want to eliminate this nuisance crime and put more of our resources to work. When they talk about the criminal justice system, put our resources to work in apprehending and prosecuting people who commit the more serious crimes in our society.
Well, first of all, I've never met a Democrat that doesn't like the word tax. They love taxing everything. That's the problem. But when you look at that line of logic, okay, first of all, you're saying a small amount is 10 ounces. I used to smoke when I was younger. 10 ounces
10 grams,
is a lot
sorry,
more than
grams,
a little.
10 grams.
Oh, 10 grams. Oh, okay.
10 grams.
I was about to say, 10 ounces is going to be. But this is the problem. This is the logic behind that. Okay, it's still a drug. So if that's the case, then you're saying young men are getting locked up. I understand that because I was one of those young men. But if that's the case, and if you can get away with having a small amount of marijuana, then the next man should get away with having a small amount of heroin, cocaine, crack. I mean, so where do we draw the line? I think a lot of people are going to question.
Apparently, we've already there's already a line drawn. Alcohol is a drug. Cigarettes are a drug. So you've already drawn the line. I mean, and look, as you absolutely know, Hassan, marijuana is not as addictive as smoking cigarettes, nor is it as dangerous as alcohol. Yet those two things are legal. Why? Because a majority of Americans do them. However, marijuana, which affects a majority of African Americans, is illegal, and we are disproportionately being arrested for this crime, and therefore disproportionately being snuffed out of society in terms of our ability to compete for jobs, education, and housing.
John Bullock's here. Let me let him jump in. And again, a lot of people are calling in. Let's get them on the line as well. John Bullock.
Hello.
On your mark, get set. I think you're ready.
All right.
There you go.
Good to be here as always. This is a hot button issue, not just in Maryland, but all around the country. There are a number of jurisdictions who have decriminalized marijuana, or at least small amounts of it. I definitely hear both sides of this argument. On one side, you have the idea that it's a drug, and just like there are a lot of other drugs, but we also have to look at the harm or the lack of harm that it does. And so compare it even to alcohol, which is legal, and other drugs, we know there's less of a negative physical impact and societal impact when it comes to use of marijuana. Now, we also know there's some therapeutic uses as well in terms of medical marijuana. One thing I will point to is I will point to the jurisdictions that have actually decriminalized small amounts of marijuana, less than an ounce or less than half an ounce. And you haven't seen any real crime impacts as a consequence. You've seen actually lower arrest rates. And some of the things that have been mentioned in terms of impacting people in terms of criminal records for jobs or for education is really something we have to take a look at. Those who are being disproportionately arrested for marijuana crimes do happen to be young men of color, and they're for very small amounts. And so even the way that we're policing the issue is not really a good one. And even if we go down that route in talking about other drugs, well, we have to look at drug use as a health issue. And so it really isn't a criminal issue. And even in countries that have decriminalized drugs, we've seen better health outcomes and better criminal and policy outcomes as a consequence.
So let me open the phones and see what listeners have to say, and then jump right back into our guest, 410-319-8888. Let us go to Clarence. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Steiner.
Welcome.
You know, the tobacco companies have had a contingency plan in for the legalization of marijuana for the last 50 years. Now, when you say decriminalize it for small amounts, all that says is the tobacco companies get control of the ounces and the pounds. Second of all, that's legalizing marijuana is not going to stop anybody from harassing black youth or any other youth for that reason. It's not going to serve that purpose. And there's a lot of subterfuge in the argument anyway. I agree wholeheartedly, and actually that's what I wanted to say, that anybody that has a criminal record for it in the past for having a small amount, it should be, you know, they should be able to apply for expungement from the record. Now, 10 years from now, you'll be able to walk in a store and buy a six-pack of Budweiser and a blunt right next to the lottery machine and everything else. So there's a lot of subterfuge in what these people say. It's a revenue generator. And how far it's going to go is not even talk about it. But I anticipate, if I'm living 15 years from now, to be able to walk into the lottery machine on one side and a Budweiser and a blunt on the other side. Thank you, sir.
Mark, Clarence makes such a great point. He always does when he calls. This is my thing. You're promoting something that, and this marijuana that we have today, these kids are smoking, is nowhere near back in the day when you guys were kids, Mark and Kurt. Let's not mistake that at all. They have all type, man, these kids are waking up feeling like they're on heroin for this marijuana. And when you legalize it, what it's doing to young people is promoting for them to say, that the government has legalized it, therefore it means it's right.
But you
and
do
so
make
we're telling our young people, go drink, go smoke cigarettes, go smoke marijuana because it's legal. We should be trying to forbid our children from those types of substances because we know that that's what gets them in the most trouble.
You know, Hassan does make an interesting point in terms of the potency. Now, there are some studies that say that it's more potent than it was in the past. Some say that it's really non-consequential. But here's something that's interesting. When you do legalize something, that means you can tax it and regulate it. So going to what the former caller just said, it is true that it can be revenue generation. If you look at what's happening in the state of California, other states as well. But most certainly, you can cut down on some of the negative health effects if you actually do regulate it. You tax it, you regulate it, as opposed to just having it being a black market economy where there's no checks, no balances, and there's also the violence, other things that come along with that.
Kurt, did you want to say something before we go back to the phones?
Well, what the bill does is that it does regulate, and it regulates the amount of THC that would be allowed to be imbibed at any particular time. And also the taxing part, we're going to use money raised from this taxes to deal with the Schedule 1 drug population, Schedule 2, heroin, cocaine, crack, to try to provide more money for treatment so those folks would be able to eventually kick their habits. I think it's a win-win situation. I don't think that, look, we have to erase from the public view the specter that they've raised for 50, 60 years of how bad marijuana is for you. The bottom line is that it is a dangerously addictive drug. It's certainly not as bad as alcohol when it comes to, you know, the people who overuse it. And I think that discussion has to begin. I mean, I just don't understand how Hassan cannot believe that this drug, this drug, marijuana, is benign compared to alcohol and cigarettes right now, and it probably should have been legalized a long time ago.
So let me go back to the phones here, just as a point of information, since our last caller, Clarence, raised the tobacco industry. There's an interesting point of information that they are been involved in this since the very beginning. From the 1970s, there's a company called Altria. They control the web domain names of AltriaMarijuana.com and AltriaCannabis.com. And Altria happens to be the parent company of Philip Morris that makes Marlboro, Players, Benson Hedges, and other cigarettes. So just this, and I can read more, but I don't want to go on ad nauseum about it. But they're waiting for this and been waiting for it for a long time. 410. Go ahead.
But it's true. In other words, when the caller said that tobacco companies have had this contingency plan waiting for a long time.
And they have.
Oh, okay.
410. Well, I'm sorry, what?
No, I mean, that's news to me as well. But I'm saying we need to talk about it because there are people who think that, you know, somehow marijuana is this devil drug that you start using marijuana and the next thing you know, you're out robbing banks and smoking crack. And I just don't think, based upon my experiences with the testimony, also having gone to forums around the country in Atlanta, New Mexico, Colorado, I've been to Seattle, talking about this. They think the East Coast is kind of, you know, uptight. They said, why do you folks think marijuana is so bad? And so
that's, well, that's because half their legislators is on marijuana.
Oh, that's baloney. Come on, Hassan, stop.
I mean, let's be real.
Come on.
The marijuana, and this is the real question. And I look, let me tell you, I know Kurt means well, but this is the question that we're going to ask. And it is as addictive as heroin and other things.
Oh, it's not. No, it's not.
Physiologically, it's
not. Not marijuana itself. They are lacing the marijuana that these kids are getting these days. They're putting oxycontins in it. They're putting cocaine in it.
Well, that's different.
That's why it has the legislation. Is it so we can,
but this is the question.
Hold on, gentlemen, just stop.
The government takes control, right? And they take the THC levels down. Now, a person who has a more potent addiction to a marijuana, they're going to go to that and say, I can't smoke this. This doesn't get me high. So that way, they're going to go to the black market and get theirs. If they're caught with the black market weed, will they be locked up?
Well, that's
because it's not the government's weed. That's another question.
I mean, I think that's more of a separate issue. We talk about the potency and whether someone has something that's laced with something else. But one thing is interesting. When you look at even the state of California, for instance, it has a number of dispensaries and what have you. I mean, again, it is regulated, whether we're talking about the amount of THC or the fact that there won't be other, you know, additives and things like that in it. You know, but I think the real crux of the issue is this a good usage of public safety monies and law enforcement to criminalize or crack down on marijuana usage when there are so many other issues at hand. Now, in terms of the physiological addictiveness, again, we're not talking about people going through withdrawal and going through shakes and things like that. Although any drug has the potential to be abused, we have to look at, you know, who is actually using it. And again, we can look at, you know, the number of young people, professionals, educated individuals who are not addicted, but at the same time, it causes an issue for especially young men who are caught in the criminal justice system.
Let me open the phones here. 410-319-8888. Mary, you're on the air.
About to bust a gut.
Don't do that
I
now.
I can't believe this, the foolishness that I hear. How can you sanction the madness that are taking our children down? They can't kill a dream, but they kill a dreamer. My son is out of here because in 11th grade, he had this little second gun. He's going to roll some weed, make some, in my house? Or was intervention done? Oh, yeah, and I told his mother where he got the weed from. I'm not going to have it. It should not be legalized. You want to do your foolishness? You do it in your home. I did it. I didn't get the whole world involved in what I had to do. But when we realized that we were losing our children to this foolishness out here, and we're talking about, man, just make me, I can scream. I can't believe this.
You
don't even want to support the gun. Like, the same little young boy that gets shot for taking a gun to shoot me to buy their weed. What are you talking about? This whole community is ridden with drugs and guns. And you want to make a sanction to say why it should be legal. I tell you, I ain't never had nothing so foolish in my life.
All right, Mary.
This is what education means. I'm sorry that we're that smart. This is a dumb crap I'm hearing today.
Thank you, Mary. Kurt, I think you can respond to that.
Well, I'm not really sure what her concern is. I mean, the only reason why marijuana is illegal is because a public body, the Congress, passed a law back in the 1920s to make it illegal. They didn't, you know, God doesn't say this is an immoral substance to use. Man has made a law that says it's illegal. Man made a law that says that alcohol was illegal. Man changed that law. We can do the same thing in Maryland, changing the law of marijuana. There is a, you know, this aura about marijuana that it's something bad, just like you heard what the last caller just said. She's got no reason to, she has no understanding as to why she thinks it's bad. She just knows it's bad. And I'm saying if the bill were passed tomorrow, and look, a couple of states have already passed this. In Maryland, the Senate has already passed the bill, like mine. Senator Zirkin is the sponsor of the bill. The Senate JPR committee passed it. It's going to go to the full Senate floor. Last year, we passed a bill that made small amounts of marijuana only citationable. A police officer could not arrest you. He could only give you a citation because the state's attorneys don't like the idea that so much of their resources are going to arresting people in regard to marijuana. It's a nuisance crime for them, and they don't want their resources going there. They would rather have their resources go to more serious crimes. Medical marijuana is about to pass in Maryland. It's passed in 13 other states.
You think it will pass?
I think it will pass here in Maryland. We've got two competing bills, but both bills have received the support of the governor, and both bills seem on the verge of passing both chambers. So that's something that, look, people will start hearing this over and over and over again, and they'll start getting used to the idea that marijuana is not the dangerous drug that they, that their grandparents told them about. And I think it's a truth that our young folks know already. And
it is a dangerous drug. That's the that's why the lady was upset.
There are thousands of people who say totally the opposite. Then how is it such a dangerous drug?
That's the problem with y'all legislators now. Y'all don't know how to listen. Y'all always want to think that y'all know everything, and you. It's not.
I've been listening.
It's not the police that are killing our young kids so much in our communities. It's the drugs and the alcohol. I guarantee, if you did a survey, 9 out of 10 young people in this city who murder somebody, who rob somebody, are either on alcohol and or marijuana during that time.
Let's bring this again. There are a lot of people who may have that, but that may not be the driving factor. But here's something interesting, and this goes to something that Doug Anderson was saying. Well, if you go back to the 1930s, one of the reasons why marijuana was actually criminalized was really because of who was using it. And largely it was the African-American jazz musicians and also the Mexican laborers. And again, there was a resistance to those groups who used it. Now, we also look at the historical references, like movies like Reefer Madness and things like this that talked about how crazy people would be and be psychotic on marijuana. And clearly that was overblown, and that was used in terms of propaganda to actually push that legislation. But I think the better example is when we look at alcohol prohibition. And you don't see people engaging with, Tommy guns and fighting in the streets around alcohol as they did in the 1930s when alcohol was illegal. So we can also look at it in terms of taking some of the violence out and some of the incentive out of this black market. You won't have as much violence associated with this. And so we do save some young people's lives when we do that.
We have to take a very brief break. And Hassan, can you stay around for a little bit more?
Yeah, I got you.
Stick around a little more. Yeah.
And Kurt, do you have to roll or can you stay for a minute?
No, I do have to get back in committee. I'm actually chairing a panel on drug laws.
Okay, well, go chair your panel, brother, and we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Love you, Kurt.
Delegate Kurt Anderson, who is Maryland State Delegate for the 43rd Legislative District and head of the Baltimore City Delegation. We'll be back with our other two guests and you. We'll go right back to the phones. Monica, Iris, Ernest, we'll get you on the phone. Don't go away. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. I'm here with Dr. John Bullock, professor of political science at Towson University and former candidate for the City Council District 11.
Ninth.
I was wondering, put you in the 11th. Ninth. Hassan Giordano, host of Reporters Roundtable, independent journalist with the Baltimore Independent Examiner. 410-319-8888. As you look at the proposal to legalize marijuana, this, in fact, may be the year that medical marijuana legislation is passed in Maryland. We don't know which one. Or how extensive it will be, but rumor has it passed. We'll look at that in the coming days, maybe next week. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Let's go to Iris in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Iris.
How's it going?
Very well.
Good, good. I just want to quickly chime in as a public school teacher, as a high school teacher, in response to Miss Mary and to Hassan, that part of the problem is, while cannabis is not particularly dangerous for adults, it, like any other substance, is not really good for growing minds and growing bodies.
True.
Yet, because it is illegal, it is easier for teenagers to get cannabis than for them to get cigarettes or alcohol. And so we live in what is unfortunately a hopeless city for many, and they want to do something to take their mind off of it, and it's easy for them to get cannabis. So by legalizing it, I actually think it would make it more difficult for young people to get their hands on it. And more, there'd be more tax money for treatment options. Mm-hmm. So that's my two cents. I'm very much in favor of the legalization of cannabis and really of all drugs, because I think that it's better for society to be able to regulate and work together with people to see that these are not monster substances that destroy people's lives, but that the criminal justice system is a monster that destroys people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Iris.
I think she's absolutely right in terms of the growing minds. I mean, it's important to recognize that at a certain age, you know, imbibing certain substances can be very problematic, not only for your mental and physical development, but even for, you know, developing addictions. And so I think even to Hassan's point earlier, when you have young people who are starting at 12 and 13 smoking marijuana, it makes it very easy to slip into other things, and it definitely can mess with your performance in school and things like that. But I think the point that the caller makes in terms of cigarettes and alcohol, you have to, you know, when you go into a store, you need an ID that says you were born before this date. You need to have some sort of form of identification to purchase alcohol, to purchase tobacco. And so if we do that with marijuana, again, it takes it more so out of the hands of young people. And again, it regulates it.
And see, this is my problem. Instead of making it tougher and eliminating and making it illegal for alcohol and cigarettes, which are substances we know that hurt people, but not as much as other drugs. We're trying to loosen the restriction. I think Kurt Schmoke had it best when he wanted to legalize it back in the day. This is the problem you're going to have with that, though, even with this marijuana. I don't think y'all understand this. I'm on the street, and I'm going to tell you right now, the cannabis in and of itself is not addictive. But what happens is you have Joe Blow on one corner selling cannabis. The next person has to outbeat him, either by a bigger bag or cheaper prices, or what they do now, they have things called Kind Bud. Kind Bud costs a lot more a gram, but it's also, if you smoke a little bit of the Kind Bud, it gets you high all day. They are lacing these drugs with stuff. So say, for instance, we legalize it, then they're going to go to the store and buy THC-based marijuana that does nothing for them because they're used to something with chemicals in it. They're not addicted to cannabis. They're addicted to the chemicals. So now they're still going to go to the black market because that's the person that's selling them the marijuana.
But Hassan, very quickly, though, why is that an argument against legalization?
Because what happens, we should not, when you legalize something, you're basically, it's a rubber stamp for the government to say that's okay to do. I'm not teaching my son that marijuana is bad for you, and then the government turns around and says, "Oh no, it's okay."
But what about alcohol?
You buy it from us. That doesn't need to be legal. Either.
Hassan.
Why are we promoting? We're promoting substances that alter the minds of people. They're not up there fighting for equal funding for HBCUs, not as passionately as they are for marijuana. They're not up there fighting against tax increases that we see over and over again. What they're fighting for is another mind-altering chemical that they can tax. That's all they worry about. Well, they want to be able to make money off of it.
I take what Sasa said. I think there's a point, you know, in this, and that I don't think we need to be promoting this. I mean, I don't think it's anything we want to promote and say, you know, go and smoke marijuana, go drink, go get high, anything like that. But I think, you know, we also want to eliminate the black market. And so how do we actually eliminate the black market? I think that's the greater question. So true, you know, we do have issues of people having, you know, drugs that may be laced and things like this. But I think we get rid of that element when we eliminate the black market through regulation and through through legalization. But eventually, you know, people get out of that realm. Just like how there used to be a time where people would buy their White Lightning, their, you know, their bathtub gin. And now we're at a point where people don't buy bathtub gin as much. I mean, again, if you're out in a rural area, you might see more of that. But generally, people don't engage in alcohol in that way as they used to in the past.
410-319-8888. We only have a few minutes left, so let's get some callers. I'm going to pick a name here. I don't think it's been on in a while, so hold on, guys. Monica, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to put in my two cents as well. I think I'm for legalizing marijuana as a young person. I think that it's the misconception of it being a gateway drug. That just bothers me because I did use when I was in high school, but I wouldn't. I guess I have grown up with not being, with stronger drugs that they have. I would never, I've seen what it does to people, and I don't think that marijuana is even in the category of cocaine or heroin or any of those.
Right. I mean, it's a different category of drug. I mean, and so when we look at, you know, whether people are, you know, having to seek treatment, again, it's more so of a discontinuing of a lifestyle as opposed to a deeper level of addiction and physiological connection to that. But again, one of the reasons why you see the decriminalization in places like Colorado as well. I mean, next week we know that, you know, the University of Colorado Boulder, I guess they're going to be having their annual event. And here we have college students who are engaging in it and with no ill effects or noticeable effects in terms of their future performance. So we really have to look at, you know, the reality of how what people do when they are engaged in that drug.
You know what? I wish Israel was on, because Israel Quezon could really explain. The reason why it's a gateway drug is because people get into marijuana and their intention is to stay with marijuana. What happens is you get into substances, even if you get laced substances, you get in. Your immune system builds up, and then you say, okay, what's next? I can't get high off this anymore. But what's next? The next thing is called e-pills, and then it's Oxycontin. And then that gets you into a addiction, which leads you into heroin and cocaine. That's why it's called a legal drug, but which, I mean, a gateway drug, but we're trying to legalize that. What kind of sense
But Hassan,
that?
I think I've heard Israel talk about that on the show and other places, and I respect Israel a great deal, and I think he's a lovely human being. He's done great work in the community and with people who are strung out on alcohol and heroin. I'm very fond of the man, but I think he's wrong about that. And I think that all the studies in the country have shown that it is not a gateway drug, that the gateway is a social consequence. It's not a consequence of the drug itself. I understand that because many people who come out of addiction get very passionate about it, and I think it gets stretched to a point where it's not real.
Okay, well, Mark, can we do a project for your show strictly from the Mark Snyder Show? Let me buy you marijuana, or anybody who's...
I said, no, brother, we ain't doing that on the air, that's for sure. That ain't happening.
Let me buy it around my way and feed it to you for 2 weeks and see if you don't become strung out on it because it's not the same right. Marijuana from the 60s.
I know that some of the marijuana is laced that's sold in the street, but all marijuana sold is not laced. That's not the argument. The argument is whether or not drugs in the society should be legalized or not. And I mean, that's the core of the question, I think, that people are wrestling with.
But it's not going to eliminate the black market. You can legalize it. Decriminalizing is the best thing you can do. Because like the caller before said, the criminal justice system is the thing that really messes up our young lives, especially in the city of Baltimore and urban cities. We know that. We understand that those who smoke marijuana in the county smoke it in their house at the ounces and don't get caught with it on the street the same way our young brothers and sisters do. I think that should be our focus.
And I think that's really, you know, one of the thrusts of the law. Again, if you have a law that makes it legal, then again, you don't have some of these young men and women getting caught up in a criminal justice system which is impacting them for the rest of their lives for something that is that's relatively a minor offense. As we look at it in other states and even other countries, again, we're actually, you know, treating this a little bit harder than it needs to be.
So let me get another call in here before we turn our attention to one of the heroes of our world, Harriet Tubman, who just celebrated the 100th anniversary of her passing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about who she was in this society. Sophia, you're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. What I found in listening to this discussion is that, you know, one, as being a parent of an 18-year-old who is now partaking in marijuana, and I agree that there definitely with young adults, the point of them, when they get involved with marijuana, it's not just the marijuana they get involved, but I don't think it's because it's not marijuana that makes them do more. Yes, they are drinking, they are smoking, they are doing marijuana. But the thing is like making alcohol illegal would be utterly ridiculous because if I'm having a glass of wine as an adult, I should be able to have it. Marijuana being legal, as much as I know they have the dangerousness of it for our children, the thing that is at least legalizing it will make it so, yes, one, it's regulated, two, the black market will still exist, but then you don't have as much power. The reason why marijuana can be sold and on the streets and you're going to make so much more money is because it isn't legal. When we look at, like we said, it was legal up until 1937, and when we look at alcohol and prohibition, there's a lot more money that was made because of the fact that it was illegal. Moonshiners aren't making as much money as they used to because you can now get moonshine in the liquor store. So as a parent who has a child who is actually doing it, and I'm scared half to death for him, the thing that is I know that at the very least, if he gets in trouble now, he has no hope. If it's legalized and then if it's regulated, then there's so much more that I can do. And it doesn't change what I say to my child. I tell all of my children, alcohol is not good when consumed in vast abundance. You're too young to make that decision. That's not going to change my conversation with them
right.
Speaking about marijuana. Because at the bottom line, is when it's not used right, because we have people who are using it medically, who are having great results, anything can be done in excess and in a way that is now detrimental to our community and society. So it's I think from the perspective of legalizing, it is looking at what the community is doing, what we can do for our children, how we make outreach programs. There's so much more into it than just saying, hell no, it shouldn't be legalized, and then everything else should be illegal too, because that's kind of ridiculous. You know, we have to have some sort of responsibility.
Sophia, I really appreciate your comments, and your comments are taking us into our next subject. And I want to thank you so much for calling in. I want to thank Hassan Giordano for taking his time this afternoon, as well as Dr. John Bullock for coming in the studio, Delegate Kurt Anderson was with us earlier. Thank you all so much. It's been
thank
a very
you.
Lively and
Thanks
interesting discussion.
Thanks for having
discussion.
Me, Mark.
All right. Talk to you all soon.
All right, take care.